Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
They said it couldn't be done. They said it was impossible. Well, we did this shit. BTW. GoCast. Blew It Up. And Roundtable Chat Talk. This is the Pokemon Go Super Show.
What's up, everyone? I am AstroZombie954, and welcome to a very special edition of the Fireside Chat Tot, or what I like to call today's episode, the Pokemon Go Super Show. As usual, I'm joined by my brothers in arms here, WildcatDad17.
Howdy.
And Dino.
What up?
But what's making this a super show is some familiar voices we've got here. So let's go around and introduce ourselves and our shows. Let's start with Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Chris from the GoCast podcast. I'm one of two hosts. We cover weekly news. We have an emphasis on goal setting. We also have two other co-hosts that do a weekly PvP segment on our show. We're lucky to have them because Kyle and I don't know what we're talking about in regards to that particular topic. And yeah, that's pretty much it. We've been around for, oh geez, Kyle, how long? We said this wrong the other day. Is it going to be four years in July?
4 years in July. Yeah, it's four years in July coming up. Oh my God.
4 years and a month from now. Yep.
That's insane. That's insane. So we've got, my sailor talking brother over here.
Kyle didn't get a chance to introduce himself.
Kyle, you gotta say hi first, man.
Yeah. I thought Chris was just gonna talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I mean, no. I try not to.
Every week. He does it every
week. I just wanted the hiya.
Yeah. it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't That's work. True. There's no natural transition.
It has to sneak up on him. Yeah.
And I'm the other half of, well, I guess the other quarter of GoCast podcast. My name is Kyle, and I just want to correct Chris and say we have an emphasis on goal setting, but mostly failing said goals.
Oh, I mean, proof's in the pudding.
Fail setting is a wonderful brand right there. Fail setting. I'm going to have to use that. That's awesome. But anyway, I'm Ken from the Lured Up podcast. We just talk shit about everything. So that's pretty much how we roll. And I don't know, we've been doing it since the beginning of pretty much the game. So we're about 6 years in to the show. We've done about, I guess in total, when you consider all the bonus episodes and all that good stuff, probably about like 275 episodes at this point. And still rocking and rolling. And I'm from New Jersey, but my co-host is from New Hampshire, and that's Adam Tull.
That's me.
Hey, Adam. Hi.
I'm the other half of the cruel, awesome duo.
He's the good cop in the relationship.
He is.
Yeah, I try to stay on the right path, and Ken likes to try to steer the car
into the guardrail.
Into the guardrail
on purpose.
He drives backwards, He drives head on to oncoming traffic most of the time, especially with Poke the Bear. He's like, how fast can I go into oncoming traffic? I don't know. Let's find out.
Ken, how good does it feel when you get Adam to curse on the show?
You know, it happens very, very far and few between. But when it does happen, it's like, oh, man, I know whatever he's talking about is like hella spicy.
It's usually costume funny. Pikachu. Yeah, that gets me.
Mm-hmm. There's going. Times where like we'll be talking pre or post show and a curse will come out and I'll be like, dude, what the? I go, come on, man.
This
should be part of the show.
Never.
And we've got, I guess, the new guys on the block here. The Roundtable Chat Tot, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? I'm old Johnny Oneball, aka John, and we are not just a little bit newer. we are about 4 months into our show.
Love it.
Awesome.
One of the big differences with us is, as you can see, we actually record in the same room. We're not from very far away, so we meet up every Tuesday and record
and be dumb.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a duo that's dumber out there.
Well,
not with that attitude.
Wait, have you seen Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah. They may have my favorite ever shoutcasting segment of hearing Johnny Oneball shoutcast a Shadow Prime match. It's so nice. It's so fun.
He doesn't always show me what he's doing, so I'm trying to lean over and watch, but guess what he's doing at the same
tapping.
Time.
He's tapping some more.
Yep, so swirly, 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 swirly.
His brow is furrowed.
So this is something I've been wanting to do for some time. I felt like it would be interesting to get all of us together. And I just didn't feel like an episode of BTW would kind of fit it. So when we started doing this Fireside Chat Tot and it kind of spread off into its own little segment show, I was like, this is like the perfect place to do this. So I talked with the guys and Wildcat reached out to Ken. I reached out to Chris. And I think Shadow and Johnny were just in our Discord listening to us or something. They just jumped in. Yeah.
Who left the door unlocked?
I'm fine.
I will go in here.
Yeah. Oh, we'll just do this one. Yeah. And that's it. We all agreed. We're all like, this sounds like it'll be a lot of fun. So basically what this episode is about is we are going to discuss views, ideas, thought, you know, our feelings on the state of the game of Pokemon Go. We're going to recap a little bit of this past season with the season of Alola. And it's as unfiltered as we can possibly get, I guess. Yeah. I just thought it would be interesting because each podcast has a different standpoint and a different view on the game. We all handle different topics or different perspective of the same topics. So I thought it would be a really good way to kind of end a season and give our listeners something to listen to during GoFest this weekend. So are we ready? We want to get this started?
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Yep.
Lord, all help right. Our souls.
Let's go.
So let's begin with things that are just, it's fresh in our head. The season of Alola. And I'm kind of interested on just like a general how each podcast felt about the season. You know, the different tasks and stuff like that were going on through it. So let's start with the new kids on the block here. Roundtable, what did you guys think?
To preface all of this, he'll have to be the one that remembers all of this. I remember nothing almost ever.
So it's me.
So yeah. I will remember what I can, and then he'll correct me and say, no, that was many seasons ago.
That was the first season ever.
I, for one, am glad that Alola is over. I think with the we talked about this recording this week, there's a lack of completion that we seem to be missing when they do these type of things. Now, I understand they're not going to throw all of the new Pokemon in at once or any of a full generation at once, because you have to keep, you know, the idiots guessing. But it just felt like there's so much missing, and all we got was Yungoos.
So many Yungoos.
So many. So many.
I'm done with them.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it was kind of the same thing. Like, I was really excited at the beginning. Like, let's do this. Let's go. And the last, like, 3 weeks, I'm not doing any more raids. Stop inviting me, please. I'm done. I'm done. Mm-hmm. So, like, even, like, with the whole, like, multiple paths and, like, you select one and then you can buy another one for $5. I was like, I'm doing it once. I don't care. So, I was just done with the Alola.
So, Shadow, would you say you were Tapu Boo Boo over it?
Oh yeah. Way top puns.
There you go.
Okay, you got to bring it tonight. You got to bring it. You got to be funny together.
All right, I have to trip over one. We're good. I'll fall into the swing of things.
I'm going to watch you trip over two.
No, you won't.
And then I'm going to go off screen and laugh.
I'll laugh on screen. Jokes on you.
Afraid to show my face.
Awesome. How about you guys lured up? How about you?
So I'm a huge fan of the seasonal format. I think that 3 months, without a doubt, is the proper window. It's the proper time frame. But I think that the challenges that Alola had, especially with like the last third of the season, was that there was just so many opportunities for the season to get in its own way. And there was just so much going on that it detracted from the ability to follow a narrative. And they were pushing so hard to have a narrative. And believe me, that's what I desire, right? I want to have a story. I want to have cohesion from the beginning of the season through the end of the season, which on paper, everything looked fucking awesome. Like, it looked like there was a perfect opportunity to have this branching storyline, and it had, you know, a relationship to the main series. And it really felt like it lived in the Pokemon universe. But what ended up happening was it was tripping over itself. And before we knew it, we were simply completing tasks to complete tasks and not completing them to drive the narrative forward. And I think that really, especially at the end, it caused a lot of fatigue because people were just completing stuff just to see the check mark. And they didn't know why they were doing it. They were just kind of trudging through, and they just were driving for the goal. And for me, the fun is in the process, right? It's trying to experience the narrative and that immersion. That's a big thing for me, is I want to feel immersed in the world. And when I read the blogs or I look at the key art, like, I feel that. But towards the end of the season, it did unravel a little bit for me because I felt the need to, like, have to go back and reference text. And when I go back and reference text, I get taken out of that immersion. And because of that, I think that it kind of fell apart. So, but this has got to be like this crazy, undaunting task of trying to, how do we keep people's attention for 3 months on a singular path? And I don't know how they do it, but, you know, what we've only been doing the seasonal thing for like a year, right? So it's like, we have to understand that as far as the development of a process goes, the seasons now are still light years ahead of what they were when they first started, which was, here's a spawn pool, have a nice day. So I think that they've done a great job in developing the seasonal structure. I just think that there was a little bit too much going on all at the same time that it forced everyone to go back and read and go back and try to be like, what is going on right now? What do you mean this ticket? I could buy it. Are they just trying to take my money? And whenever there's those kind of questions, it pulls you out of the immersion. And then that's where you remember, oh, fuck, this is just a mobile game. Whereas if this was like a main series game or an RPG, you feel like you're in it, right? You know, you really feel immersed. So anytime I lose track of what's going on in the game and I'm just like, all right, I'm redundant task after redundant task. It's just like, all right, this is really what it's about, is just the rinse repeat of grinding, which for some is enough. But I think for the overall perspective of trying to build a cohesive narrative over 3 months, yeah, I did think it got a little muddy at the end. But, you know, for someone like Adam, you know, we live in different areas, right? Like, I'm in an urban environment. I've got stops and gyms coming out of my ass. Everywhere I look, there's just stuff to do. So it's easy for me to be detracted from storyline and narrative because I could just play, right? Where Adam might have to have a little bit more of intent when it goes to how to do that. So Adam, I don't know how you felt about actually trying to make sense of the story, because we've tripped over stories before, but
I think the story still has a little ways to go before it really grasps us. I, for one, was not very happy that, or any time that I'm forced to evolve. I have a big issue with the collection challenge that just happened for the Torcat and the Brionne and the Dartrix. And I was just very upset because...
But why?
Because I want to catch the shiny. I would like to get the shiny in the decks.
Oh, come
unless
on.
I get a hundo.
He's one of those. He's one of those.
Yeah, no, seriously. And it's like, that's my way to play.
You're holding society I understand. Back, Adam.
Yeah, and it's I understand
we
that
we forced
other people...
him to evolve Kanto shit like 2 months ago.
Good.
I was like, how is this possible, dude? He was just like, I go, you don't have a fucking
thing.
Beedrill?
That's my way to play, which is different from a lot of other trainers.
I'm similar there, Adam, because I don't like to evolve things unless they have PvP IVs. So, like, I did not want to waste candy on a non-PvP relevant Pokemon, and then I'm like, at the end of the season, I'm like, I either don't complete this collection challenge, or I'm forced to evolve, and it felt bad.
Are you starved for resources, though? Are you starved for candy and you know, stuff like that, where it would be a matter? So it's just like a matter of principle more than a matter of necessity.
Yeah, it's Stardust.
Oh, yeah, I have Stardust on my ass, let's be honest.
I assure you, Adam has the least amount of Stardust of anyone on this panel. He probably has single-digit fucking Stardust right now.
I probably once a day use all the Stardust I got. During whatever.
Adam.
It's crazy.
Why?
It's How? Crazy. He's because like, I'll have go, 100% Weedle. It's getting
no,
level
I literally,
40
I go,
right now.
I go 4-star.
My man.
I go 4-star, and then I hit HP, and I'm like, oh, I've got a Blissey. I can't do anything with it. I need more XLs to get there. But I'm like, ooh, I've got this 100% Wobbuffet.
Okay.
I have 107,000, but...
Spend it all right now, dude. Spend it all right now.
99,900
no,
just
give me
went
the,
into
your
a Wobbuffet.
Shittiest IVs. Go search on 1-star and just fucking spend it. Spend
no,
it all.
I know,
right
no,
now.
No. So that's the thing. It's a Delibird. And I value the Delibird candy and the XL very highly. So I don't want to get rid of this.
You need to put out like a rule book for the way you play, man. Jeez.
No, seriously. And that's the thing. So with everybody playing their different styles, I like a collection challenge as me collecting those Pokemon. If I have to do a raid, I get a free raid pass a day. I'm fine with doing a raid. But making me evolve, I'll say it once, I'll say it again, I don't like it. Other than that, I enjoyed the season of Alola. I felt very Hawaiian.
Yo, can I say this? Who else is burnt out on fucking Willow just leaning over and talking to us? Like, does anyone read it? Does anyone... Like,
no,
I've never read that.
So
he's just kind of like, hey,
just tap.
tap.
Like, oh, yeah, you guys go find the Tapus. But he's like waist deep in water, like looking for them. I'm like, what are you doing?
I let Zoe or so read it to me. I'll be honest. I let Zoe or Nick come there and read it to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to read all of it this time around. And I read none of it. It's just like I just go to the blog and get caught up. But no, I'm actually interested to hear what GoCast has to think about the season, because I know from a content perspective, their look and the way they approach the mechanics and what they do in the game is much different with the goal setting and everything. So I don't know what you guys thought.
Speaking of goal setting, I failed. And I'm pretty sure whatever the master rework is.
No.
Oh no.
What are you at? No.
It was seriously 29 days.
No.
And I forgot.
Adam.
I guess I'm going to beat you. I'm at 21.
The horror.
No.
Kyle.
Horror.
That's just I haven't missed a day. It's just 30 days is a long time, okay? Anyways. 30
days is a long it's not as long as 75 days of come on. Set a reminder.
I do. I have a reminder. That's why I'm at 21 days.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Kyle, what did you think of the season of Alola? I want to hear what you have to say first, because I'm going to make it sound like the beach vacation that it was. So please give us the tsunami. Give us the hurricane.
It's not going to happen. Everyone who is listening, who does know me, you know, usually I think a lot of negative things about some stuff with reason. I like the season of Alola. I thought it was good. I don't need a story to play a video game. The story is like third or fourth string when it comes to my enjoyment of a video game. First and foremost is playing the game, the mechanics of it. And I really enjoyed the special research that we got. I don't care for the Tapus, so having them in raids for what felt like ever was kind of exhausting. But I love the starters. Every time I saw a Rowlet spawn, I'm like, yes!
Mm-hmm.
Actively catching them doesn't matter. And so that alone, the amount of Rockruff raids I did, I don't even want to admit. And I'm still accepting them. I don't need the shiny anymore. I'm still accepting them.
You got four shinies?
Same.
No, I have two, but that's good enough for me.
I've done almost 60 and I still have no shiny.
Ooh.
I have done around that many. No shinies from raids, but I hatched two.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey.
So, huh. The glory of eggs. Preach. Preach.
But otherwise, I also look at what we got from the season. And one of the things, you know, we got the starters, some of the ones that I love a lot. We also saw the change to megas and the mega energy, the mega level system. And we saw mega legendaries. And while that's technically not strictly Alola, it happened during the season of Alola. And so that counts in terms of my enjoyment. And so that was, rates it very highly for what we've had so far for me.
I think that's a fair assessment, though, too, because if you have to wait what their content schedule is going to be like, you also have to wait the features that they put in there, because it is part and parcel to the sort of events they have, because they like to gear those events toward features. So I think that's right, Kyle, and fair. That being said, I think I also enjoyed the season of Alola, but I also don't care about the story or the narrative whatsoever. Now, that being said, not all of it, right? I don't care about Willow. They haven't given me a reason to care about Willow. I care about the team leaders because they all have personalities. They've made those fun social posts where they've got to be themselves. We have, you know, the dabbing spark. Like, we have all these things that are fantastic. Yeah. I don't see why they don't leverage them more often. And they kind of did a little bit, just a teensy bit, with the challenges that we had every month, right? They're like, oh, we have to catch this many Pokemon to unlock this door. Stuff like that. I don't even remember. I just remember them being involved with story beats. And I would love to see more of that instead of a text dump that I will have to see twice anyway, because the game doesn't keep track of the first time I saw it. Like, I just click through it because I just want to get it done, because I am definitely a check mark sort of guy. But if I did care about the characters, I would pay attention, because I love stories in other games, just not this one. I don't know if we need voice acting. I don't know if we just need Willow to just be with somebody else all the time. I don't know.
here's a counterpoint to the voice acting. We all play on fucking mute.
I don't.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Are you
yeah.
like you ever turn the game on in the morning and you hear like that fucking intro? Dan, 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 like,
so what I do is that I have it on mute until I'm like about to go out and grind, and I'll put it in my headphones. Then I'll turn it back on. But if I'm like out and about in my car going out to get coffee, and while I'm in line, I catch some Pokemon spins and stuff, it's off then. So
fair point. You're a passion.
That's too much work.
Too embarrassed. Too embarrassed while you're getting coffee.
Well, I don't want to annoy everybody else. I'm wearing a Pokemon Go shirt in the drive-thru, but I don't want to annoy them. Yeah. But they're like, hey, you like Pokemon Go? I'm like, how much time you got? Yeah. But Season of Alola, two thumbs up for most of the reasons that Kyle said. But I'd have to agree with Ken that the story was rather thin, if almost non-existent.
On paper, it was had so much potential,
though. I know.
It just A for effort.
Yes.
Maybe a D for execution.
D for delivery.
Yep. And D's nuts also.
And D for the delivery Pokemon. Delibird.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Adam's happy.
All right. Well, what about BTW? What about our fabulous hosting show?
Well, I talk way too much on our show, so I'm going to let the other guys, and especially Dino, because if I don't purposely call him out, he may not actually say a single word.
You'll just hear me laughing the whole time.
So go ahead,
yeah,
Dino.
Yeah, of course. So for me, it's funny because everyone's like perspective of the season was like all like non-PvP like related. And for me, like, all I saw was just like PvP Pokemon. Like, I didn't even like really care too much about like the storyline whatsoever. I didn't even notice like what it was even about. I just saw Pokemon, like the starters, like I was excited for them. I saw the moves, and then I was just like, I hate them because the moves that they got was just like horrible. So I know other people loved it because of what they are, which is completely fine. But unfortunately for me, like, I wasn't too excited just because of the moves. And I feel like I speak on behalf, like, most of us, like Astro and Wildcat, that we typically go based off the moves for PvP to like a Pokemon. Because for Tapu, like Tapu Fini and Bulu, like both of them, like we enjoyed it because it's really good for PvP. So for me overall, like it was great. But then it just got like very stale, like after doing way too many raids, way too many the same spawns. So for me, like it was just kind of got boring towards the end.
But what about you,
Wildcat? Oh, that day, exactly.
Yeah.
No, it changed the game.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. It was getting boring, then they brought us back in.
A good bug. Can we just like take
really,
a second?
Really, really good bug.
Like 1 second. All right. Yeah.
I will say the season of Alola, after taking the season of Heritage, taking 3 steps forward, jumped back a mile. Because what Chris said, season of Heritage was amazing. They had good story throughout it. They had the team leaders involved. There was narrative, but there was also the events really kind of drove that entire season. Season of Alola, the narrative sucked. Pokemon were pretty good. And then you add in the fact that every time there was a set of research or something going on that was supposed to drive forward, it was the exact same thing I did 2 weeks before for the previous reason. So it just was a huge step back. Also, not having a competitive PvP season kind of sucked, but at the same time, it was also very refreshing because I played like 2,500 battles when I normally only play like 1,800 because I didn't care whether I won or lost. So.
Hey, man, it's the only time that scrubs like us can feel accomplished in PvP. Come on, let us have that.
Did you all get your Pika Libres?
Hell yeah, of course.
Hey, there we go.
That's nice. There we go.
Don't want to ask me and Chris.
No.
Oh, God.
I got to rank 9. I kind of forgot about it.
No.
I think I was rank 11.
Can I get Chris the first round in Columbus next month?
Please. Right? Please no, I'm asking you. Yeah. Please do.
Just so he doesn't go on stage?
No. I'm joking. I keep saying the joke. I'm not going to try, but I'm absolutely going to try. I'm just excited to also cheer people on, man. So that's going to be great. I'm excited to meet you there in person. I don't
think that's the huge thing I'm looking forward to. You know,
yeah,
Columbus is getting to finally meet all these wonderful people that I talk to online in person. Heck, the BTW crew's never even met in person, as far as all three of us.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
because it's the world of COVID. So I think that's my big thought on the season of Lola. It was a huge step back from where we were at in the season of Heritage. Astro, what do you think?
So, surprisingly, I'm the outlier to our group. I actually enjoyed the season in a whole. I've never raided so much than I did. It felt slow in the beginning, and then it felt like once the Tapus came in, it was like, at least for me, it ramped. I was like, actively opening my game as soon as I woke up to make sure like I had it open in case I got an invite. Like I've never done that
before.
Do
you think that had to do with the like, fact that you started focusing on Master League when you hadn't in previous seasons?
It does. But it also, when there's a Pokemon in raids that is PvP relevant, it does tend to pique my interest a little more. I loved the starters. I don't care if Decidueye is terrible right now. Oh. I love that freaking Pokemon. So yes. I made sure I had one for all three leagues. Because one day you never mm-hmm. know. But I think my biggest thing with the seasons is we come out with a season, we say what the spawns for the season are, and then 3 days later, we have an event, and then it's event spawns. And then that event ends, and there's like 4 hours of the natural spawn, and then a new event. And it's like, you get to a point where it's like, I don't even know what the fuck is supposed to be spawning right now. Like, where are the spawns that they told me before? Because all I see is event spawns everywhere. That's all it is. So it kind of just is like, I guess, I mean, you could just like, don't tell us what a natural spawn for the season is going to be. Just be like, this is the season. And then inside the season, we've got these events that will dictate the spawn pool. Cause otherwise it's just like, ugh. I think there was like 1 week we had where there was nothing. And I was like, there's like nothing here I want to catch right now.
So that actually raises a good question. How did everyone feel about the Alola to Alola event being pretty much the exact same event we started the season with, minus like two additional spawns? Did it feel like a big, just kind of wet fish of a way out?
I don't think so. I like the branching paths and things like that. I thought that was fun. I actually did the special research twice, and Kyle did too.
I did as well.
Oh, okay, good. I wasn't sure if you were going to fess up or not. Yeah,
I did.
I thought it was really cool. I like all that like agency giving stuff. Even if I don't really care about the story, if I get to make a decision, I enjoy it twice as much as I would have otherwise.
That's really the only time I read the shit is when there's a decision involved, because, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, I get what I want out of it. So it's like, I'll pay a little bit more attention to, you know, they're empowering me to do something. So I want to, you know, I don't want to take that for granted. So that's when I'll try to push myself to be more engaged with the narrative by reading. That's the only method they have of delivering narrative. So yeah, I thought it was a little redundant. However, I think that the process of catching Pokemon and the spawns that are there from the events, that's the rinse repeat, right? That's the grind. That's the swirl and throw, check, transfer. Like, that's just the process of the game that, you know, some of us have done a couple hundred thousand times even, but we don't get tired of it, right? But when there's a narrative that's behind it that can drive us to be motivated to continue to do that, you know, that helps out a little bit. But again, with so much happening at the end of the season and people not really realizing why they're doing it, they're just doing it because the game is offering it, I think that kind of detracts from the idea of what a season should be. And that's really a bookended piece of narrative.
Yeah. Now, if the willow bombs, like the little willow pop out, hey, if that was animated where like Willow was like talking and moving and like had something going on besides a solid background, and then you kind of see, if you look really carefully, you see his mouth move every once in a while and he blinks, but like if there was something more to it than just scrolling text.
I think the reason I skip through the shit is because I want to get back to gameplay, right? I just want to get back to it. If Willow was more like Cortana, right, in the Halo games, where it's a voice in my head and I'm able to not have it be intrusive to my gameplay experience, it's just a layer, I think I would prefer that. Because especially on a comm day or something like that, where I, you know, even at 6 hours, I still feel pressed for time. I just want to get back to the map. I just want to get back to the game. And that's a detriment to the narrative because I'm just trying to blast through that shit as fast as possible. Tap, 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 you know, and just get me back to catches. So if I was able to still catch while being delivered that narrative, I would probably be a little bit more engaged with it because I know that, you know, we can multitask here. You know, it's not like I don't need to have 100% captive audience to Daddy Willow. It's like, give me this on the side and I'll still be happy.
Yeah, no, I get that. So awesome. So let's kind of like, let's get started. Let's get right into like the topics. So basically what I did is I asked each of the podcasts to come up with two talking points, topics, questions, whatever you want to call it, that they wanted to hear the other podcast's opinions on. Like ours is about PvP. We know what we feel about PvP, but hearing it from other podcasts who don't normally focus on that was, you know, something we wanted to do. But before we do that, I think what a lot of people are going to want to hear from all of us is our opinions on Pokemon Go as a game, the state of the game, of where it is right now. I guess I'll just let Ken start and we'll see how it goes.
Sure. So I think that there's a lot of, it's like an onion here, right? There's a lot of layers that we could peel back of what makes up the state of the game. We have the actual mechanics of the game and functionality of the game. You have being a live service game, how the game is delivered to us and communicated to us is a strong factor. And then also the diversity of mechanics and the accessibility between a range of players, meaning like, how is this game going to be fun for the first time player versus the person that's been playing for a year versus the person that's been playing for 5 years. So there's really a lot of layers here. And, you know, obviously with BTW being, you know, a PvP focused thing, you know, we can all say that, you know, GBL and PvP in general has probably suffered and struggled the most out of any of the mechanics of the game, even something like gym battles that haven't had a, you know, any attention given to them in years, they still function better than GBL, which is actively at the forefront of everything. Right. So I think from a mechanical perspective, I think the game functions phenomenally with the exception of PvP. I think from a narrative perspective, there is light years of opportunity here of how they can deliver these narrative beats in a better way that will not only help the player retain the information, but also, you know, captivate them and keep them immersed and keep them engaged. The communication aspect, which is a strong part of a live service game, is probably the worst part of it all. And it's a shame because a lot of the issues that this game has, especially for content creators and people like us that kind of like eat, breathe and shit the game, all this stuff seems so exceptionally predictable. You know, it's like, hey, if you make a right turn here, guess what? You're going to go right off the fucking cliff. And it's like, guess which way they turn? You know what I mean? And it's like, it's like, come on, dude.
This is true.
It's like, we keep telling you, it's like you keep passing that sign as you go down the street that says, yep, if you turn right, you're fucking dead. And yep, you're still going to die if you turn right. And it's like, you get to the light and you're like, which way should I go? I'm going to turn right.
Keep going and you die.
So I think that portion of it has a trickle down effect that impacts the entire community at large. And because of that, it makes all the bits of the different communities and different disciplines of the game, because everyone could play, like Adam was saying, everyone could play this game differently, right? And that's what makes it so cool. But when there's a lack of communication, you either have blissful ignorance, which is phenomenal. My coworkers play this game every single day. They're not on Pokemon Go Twitter. They're not on Pokemon Go Live. And they have a fucking blast, but they're blissfully ignorant to the issues. They're blissfully ignorant to what's going on in the community. They just have fun. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, God damn, I wish I could just have fun. You know,
okay, you should tell them, ruin it for them. That's not fair for you.
Dude, I try so bad. Okay. And, you know, and it's like, they know I talk to Niantic and stuff, and yeah. And they're like, so what's the big issue? Cause like one of them had a relationship with a different, you know, game and developer. And they're so used to like the back and forth. And, you know, obviously I don't tell anybody shit, but it's like, they're just so blissfully ignorant. I envy that sometimes, because we get caught in the crossfire of, one, being the messenger that's like willing to get shot every week on our shows, right? Because we have to deliver sometimes like shitty stuff, and that trickles into all the disciplines. So it's a total bummer. So, I mean, all that being said, I fucking love this game to death. More so, you know, and I've been playing video games since the day I grew up with Intellivision. I'm old as fuck. So I grew up with Intellivision and Atari 2600 and all that stuff. I mean, I've been playing games literally my entire life, and I've never felt so compelled to be a part of a game or a part of community than this. So it's clearly doing something right. It's tickling me in the jellies in just the right way. Right. So while I do think that there's a lot of issues, I think if you can train yourself to be slightly blissfully ignorant to the problems, it's a little bit more enjoyable to get through on a day to day. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of issues, but sometimes you just got to look past it and just remember this is a free game that's fun to play. Adam, I don't know where you're at with the overall, the macro view of
the
things.
Overall, I really enjoy this game. It does a lot, like, mentally. I mean, like, I just, my house spawn, like, I literally have a Sceptile just spawn.
Oh yeah.
You know, like that's exciting. Like, just random stuff. Like, this game is so much fun. And like, I'll be going number two. And I just start playing PvP. just because that's something that like passes the time. Because
the so shitty.
Didn't.
Yeah, but
tapu poo poo. That's the.
That's only if you're rating it. But I just enjoy it. Like I enjoyed the trading aspect. The last community day, like I didn't see anybody else walking around, which was so weird for me because I'm so used to on a nice day, just tons of trainers out walking and stuff. And I was with my son just walking around and like he was catching Pokemon and we just walked around town and we eventually walked to like a park. And then he's like, all right, I'm done playing for a little while. And I was like, okay, like that's fine. But he was so excited when he got shinies, like just that, like there's just this game is so much fun. And there's so many ways that people can play it. There's so many ways that it can help people. And it just brings people together in the best way possible, except for on Twitter. But
how can I be? You sound blissfully ignorant. I'm jealous of that.
Yeah. Like, and that's just and that's like the thing. Like, I.
Like, you know, when I enjoy in office space, when you get it gets like hypnotized and just stays in that state, yeah. It's like, yeah, this game is great.
Like yesterday morning, I hooked up my Go Plus finally. I found it again. So I was like, all right, Go Plus, you're on. I popped in headphones. I went for a run and I dropped an incense, dropped a star piece. I went for a run and I had a blast. I caught 125 Pokemon, did like a 5K basically. And it feels good. I didn't even touch the game. Like I opened it up, linked it to the Go Plus and pushed a button the whole run. And like that, I enjoyed that part of the gameplay that I got to hatch eggs and get physically in shape, mentally. It's good for you. So like, I'm getting all emotional here.
You're feeling it in your jellies.
Yeah. I still haven't caught the Sceptile, but I don't know. I just love this game and I love the community and everybody that's like everybody here. Like this couldn't have been possible without this game. I mean, sure. Yeah, but I don't know if we would ever meet or ever talk otherwise. So I've met a lot of good, cool people through this game, and it's just, I don't know. It's just, I love it.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for coming to Adam's TED Talk.
All right. I don't want to cry.
Roundtable. I gotta hear the newbie take. What's like, are you guys new to the game or just new to podcasting?
Just new to podcasting.
Okay. All right.
We're day one players.
Oh, you can stay. You can stay.
Day two, you're out.
Dude, I'm day two, bro. I'm day two.
Day two.
Out.
Fucking Pokemon Club account would not load. I could not get in.
So I think we are probably the definition of those slightly blissfully ignorant people. For me, I really don't jump into the PvP side of it. So I mean, I hear about the bugs and I hear about the lags and things like that, but it doesn't really affect how I play the game. You know, I'm just out catching, or I've got a Pokeball Plus going, or you know, while I'm driving through town, you know, the ball will pick something up and I've got something cool to look at when I get home. So I think the I guess where the game is for me right now is, like I mentioned before, there are some things that just make it feel incomplete, because as a person who plays the mainline games, I play them for 30, 35, 40 hours and I'm done. I finished it. I beat Cynthia. I've caught everything I want. I'm done. I'm not a dex completer, but I've finished the game. So for me, the game where, ooh, we have the first 151, but good luck finding them sometimes. Or, you know, the, ooh, I would really love some more Alola Pokemon. Where's Bruxish, right? Nope. So those are the things that I want in the game.
I'm all set.
on the good side for me, the inability to complete the entire game keeps me playing. It's not like, yep, I caught all 151. I've got 89 shinies from that lot and I'm good. We're
That's
done.
A great point. That's a great point.
But by the time I get to that point, ooh, Gen 2 is coming. Ooh, we got starters from Gen 3. Ooh, Kecleon.
Those Where? Things. Where's this Kecleon?
It's in the loading screen.
So, wait, you got one?
My theory is that it's already in the game, but it's invisible, and you can only get it by clicking random spots around you, and no one's done it yet. So that's, I think it's already there. Sense. But I have a lot of odd thoughts about
it's a good theory. I like that theory. It's probably true.
So for me, it feels simultaneously complete as a game. I mean, comparing to other mobile games that we've played, awesome. Bejeweled has more levels, or Candy Crush doesn't ever stop. But those don't feel like a fully fleshed out game like Pokemon Go does to me. But it also feels incomplete to the point where, you know, I'm not banging my head against a wall about it, but I am going to still keep playing because, ooh, I actually don't have a 4-star of this, or I would really like this shiny. I'm just going to keep going, and I'll never have all of that. So have my money.
So you're chasing the serotonin.
That's right.
Nice. For me, I'd like to say I'm a reckless optimist when it comes to the game.
Compared to anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. This will work.
Good.
Sadly, but hey, still. But for me, like, there are things that, like, absolutely frustrate me with the game. Like, I can have 400 friends, but I can only open 20 gifts. Why? What's the point? Why? I have other friends I'm working on. So those are those aspects of the game just really kind of like drive me up a wall, and I'm like, I want to complain about it with somebody. And once that complaint is out, I'm good. Let's go find some more shinies. So like that's the kind of thing. I mean, like, that whole like you see like that Sceptile that pops on the map. Like, I'm gonna go out of my way to catch that Sceptile. Like, mm-hmm. Normally I'm like, oh, if it's a Rattata, hopefully the Pokeball Plus will get it. But if I see a Sceptile, I'm gonna go get that, because that serotonin, that like little hit of dopamine every time, you're just like, oh. Those sparkles, the shiny, like, this is awesome. So yeah, like the reckless optimism in me. So
we also have the ability to play together almost all the time. We live about 5 minutes away from each other now. And
jealous.
We can just be like, hey man, you want to go hunt? You want to go to Golden? You want to go downtown? Whatever. Yeah, let's go. Let's do it. We'll ride the bus around. And we have that. So having another grown up to play the game with, keeps it fun.
I like that you went with grown up instead of adult. Like,
I made pinky standing out.
Air quotes. That's right. You're like physically, and that's about it.
As a person who continues to play Pokemon every day, I tell people often that growing up is a choice.
Absolutely. Amen.
And I am not there yet.
Not me. I'm old as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm my back too. Is hurting right now. My dogs are barking.
So I guess BTW. I'm gonna let Wildcat kind of talk about this one because he's the more articulate one.
Ooh, this is a thing that I can get a little fiery on. So I'm gonna start with the good. There is no other game in my entire life, and I've been gaming since the early 90s, that I have woke up every day and played. There's no other game in that.
Preach.
And I'll continue to do it. It is a part of my daily routine. Even if I can't leave my house every day, I still play every day. And that's part of that is GBL. Because I can, you know, I can sit here at my desk while I'm listening to a meeting that I shouldn't be on in the first place, that for some reason they're making me join, and I can knock a set out. So that really grind part of it keeps me going. However, the state of GBL, it's better than it was. The people out there that's yelling they haven't fixed anything in GBL pisses me off. Because if you look at what at the end of this season compared to what we were at in the end of the season of the Heritage with GBL, it is night and day better. Yes, there's still issues, but they've made improvements. And if you know coding, every time you fix one thing, you break six others. That's just how coding works, y'all. But as Ken kind of mentioned, and this is the one, if you've listened to some of the previous Fireside TED Talks, I get very fiery. Niantic's communication is absolute bullshit. They do not know how to talk to anyone ever. And even things where they leave their creators, like Ken, like Nick, like Zoe, out to dry hunting for answers is just crap. I mean, the fact that in a video, Nick had to say, hey, look, I didn't know about these add-ons for GoFest when I filmed my video because I wasn't told. and it wasn't part of the actual announcement either. They made that mistake in Germany. They fixed it in Japan. And then for North America, yet again, no mentions of add-ons until you go to purchase the ticket and see there's two little checkboxes down there. How can you keep screwing up that badly over and over and over? And that is one thing I say on the show all the time. I will praise Dynamic when they've done something good, and I will yell at them when they do something bad. And their communication is their consistent bad, but they make a game that keeps me playing, and that's good. So it's a love-hate relationship, but I know Dino probably feels a little more middle of the road as he continues to stay all the time. So Dino, where are you at?
Actually, surprisingly, you know, I'm actually agreeing with you completely with this. Just because, like, for me, this game, whoa. Yeah, I know, right?
I was gonna say, I gotta time mark this right now. Timestamp, got it.
Yeah, so for me, like, I actually think the same thing as him because GBL, like, I mean, it gets a lot of people fired up. That's the only thing that gets me going. The only thing that keeps me coming back to the game because I'm a very competitive guy. So that's something that I really enjoy. And for me, like, I'm like most of you guys is like, as you can tell, like my background, all Pokemon stuff, it's just like very addicting. This is like something that I'm like passionate about. And if you go on Twitter, there's people saying like, oh, if the game doesn't do this and doesn't do that, I'm quitting. Like, I mean, I'm not going to do that. Like if the game does that, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to mauled or get mad or anything like that. I'm just going to like enjoy and keep playing. And just because I enjoyed the game that much. And it's even though there's moments where, yeah, I mean, I throw my phone after like a battle or something. Even after that, I still come back and I'm, you know, very, very happy to like continue playing this game. Very happy to like meet like so many people out that I would have never met if it wasn't for the game. So overall, like, I like I said, I agree completely to everything that Wildcat says, and I know he's very surprised at that. But yeah, for the most part, it's just a game that I enjoy playing.
I love that you mentioned that part about meeting people you have never met, even in your own city. I've literally, yeah. One of our Discord admins, Siegel, I met him through the game. I got to know him well enough. I helped him get hired at my company because I built that bond with him, and I thought it was like, hey, this dude's cool, and he'd be cool to work with. And without the game, I would have never met him, and we live less than 3 miles from each other.
That's wild.
That's awesome.
Wildcat.
Well,
that's Wildcat.
Thank you.
Okay.
Astro, anything else to close out the thought here?
You know me. I always end up playing the devil's advocate here. I will say yes. I think as a show, BTW agrees on the communication aspect of the game being lacking. I will say I've never in going on 38 years of life have played a game as much as I played this. I wake up, I open it. I promise you, if you look at my screen time, it's 12 to 13 hours of Pokemon Go because I have stops at work. I use the Wayfair, whatever it is, to put stops around my work that I can reach with my Go Plus.
Officially authorized accessory that I use.
Yep. Yes. But like I have that there, like it's on. My phone is on, it's running, it's there, it's plugged in. I mean, nothing. The only other game I can think of where I've sat down and really was like, man, I gotta like keep going, was like the Uncharted series. And that's just because the story behind it was just really good and I loved playing the game. Other than that, I mean, how long? It took me 2 years to beat Breath of the Wild. Because that's how little I was playing it. I still haven't beat Legend Arceus.
so good.
I haven't beat it either. But I'm right there.
I'm not surprised though, Adam. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. But it's not because I don't want to. It's just because when I sit down, you know, for those of you who don't know, I have 5 kids. Between 2 marriages. I am a co-owner of a business and I work 12 hours a day. The guys know it'll be 9 o'clock and I'm like, I just got home. So when I sit down, I spend time with my family. And then when the kids go to bed, if the wife is in bed, like my brain is fighting on, am I opening Pokemon Go or am I playing my Switch? And 9 times out of 10, I'm opening Pokemon Go. And next thing I know, it's 2 in the morning and I'm still, you know, messaging the practice channel in our Discord. Hey, does anybody want to battle? Anybody want to do this? And, you know, I've never had that with any other game. Gameplay, like, I love, like everyone has been saying, the community aspect of it. People I've never met. Honestly, Ken could probably attest to this because we were from like a same scene. I grew up in the hardcore punk rock scene. We are very elitist with who we hang out with. We were very, if you don't listen to this and you don't listen to our bands, like we're, you know, you're not going to be friends with me. I would have never hung out or talked to half the people I talk to now, because this game just brings that community together. Now there's toxicity to that community. And I think those people give us as content creators sometimes a bad name, for newer players. We've always tried as a podcast to be as positive as possible. Like Brad said, we'll give praise where praise is due, but we're going to call them out on their bullshit when it's there. It's just something, but like, it's like, this is a game, like my whole family plays. And when I say my whole family, my kids play, my wife plays occasionally. My mom, who's in her 60s in a wheelchair, plays. She's battling my 7-year-old, you know, they're doing raids together and stuff like that. It's a family thing. Obviously I'm a little more into it than them, but the Kanto tour, driving with my kids in the back seat, and my 7-year-old opens a game and sees a Snorlax. He presses it. It's a shiny. I literally almost had to swerve off the road because I thought something happened because he was like, Daddy! You know, like that's the thing. I always mention, like, he has a shiny Sableye, and every time he comes, you know, I have him on the weekend and we're playing, he's like, Daddy, you get any new shinies? And I'm like, oh, I get this one. He's like, did you get it? You get a Sableye? I'm like, no. And he's like, I got one. And he shows me as well. But like, that's the part of the game I enjoy. I don't have like actual problem with the gameplay. I think gyms are incredibly boring. Unless there's a spot open as I'm driving on a Valor Snipe gym, I don't even look at them. Like, I just go. I don't battle them. Nothing. I think that's huge. They have a lot where they can grow just in that in general. PvP, obviously, we do a PvP podcast. I tend to be, I guess, more on the blissfully ignorant side, where I don't notice as much of lags and things like that as other people. Normally I just chalk it up to me not being as good as everybody else. So it's just like, oh, I didn't notice that. But then when it does happen, I'm like, oh shit, this is legit. Okay. This is real. We'll talk about it later in the show, but seeing it on a main stage was a little embarrassing. Like as a content creator for this game, watching the debacle from the first couple of regionals, it was embarrassing for me. Like as a PvP podcast, like I'm like, man, I got to go try and get people to play this game. And they just watch that and it's like, ugh. But I give Niantic its credit. I know they listen. I always say they listen to us because, like, as soon as we say something when we record, it happens magically.
Quick, say that PvP is fixed. PvP, oh my god, fixed. It works.
What?
And I need a shiny Noctowl or a shiny Hoot Hoot, please.
They get a knock
drops into account. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my two cents on it. I'm really interested to hear what Chris and Kyle have to say about it, because they tend to be, I guess, the more positive out of all of us sometimes. I very rarely hear negativity coming, occasionally, but I'm really interested to hear what you guys think about it.
So Chris is more positive than I am in general, so I'm going to go first anyways.
Thank you.
Because there's a lot to say here. And one thing I say a lot, and I've said a lot at least, Niantic and Pokemon Go are fantastic at making and designing an experience. Pokemon Go is an experience that you get to live through. But as a game, it's just awful. I don't like it as a game. If it was just a video game, I would not be playing this game.
Oh, man.
You know, you said when you get home and you're like,
awesome.
I sit down and I have to decide between playing my Switch and playing Pokemon Go. I am right. The same way. I get home from work 10 o'clock at night. I sit down at my computer because that's where I play most of my video games. And I play another game. Pokemon Go is reserved for the times when I'm not at home, which is plenty. I love Pokemon Go. I play far too much of it, probably. Although it is not the most played game I've ever played, which is a very, very sad thing to admit.
But what is then? Now I need to know, what is the most played game?
If I had to guess, it's either third or fourth. Number one by a very long shot was World of Warcraft. 5 years of my life, I probably played it 6 to 8 hours a day.
Years of your life, you played it for 6 to 8 years.
I put time to play World of Warcraft.
Wouldn't you have, though? You absolutely would.
I would have. Right, yes, exactly. I was 14, 15 years old. I would have. So that was like every day of my life. Second would have been League of Legends, probably. Maybe it's tough to determine second and third. I had like 1,500, 2,000 hours in League of Legends. And then the third is another mobile game that I played before Go, which had like 18 hours of screen time every day because it ran itself. I just had to manage it.
Like an idol.
Until you did PvP. The PvP obviously was manual, but everything else was basically idol. And I love playing Go because of the experience it provides me. I like the excuse to get outside. I love the people it's had me meet. I've swirled and thrown so many balls that I don't want to think about it anymore. And I don't particularly care about the PvP aspect of it. I love PvP myself, but Go's PvP, it kind of puts me to sleep. That said, the overall state of the game, I hazard to say it's never been in a better space. It can always be better, but having played it for 6 years now, it used to be so much worse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take that slight silence as an opportunity to start my opinion as well. All right, so Kyle, I definitely kind of agree with you, and I agree with most what everybody has said so far. I'm going to keep my response kind of short, and I'm going to organize it as thus. So first is communication, just as a general topic. Secondly will be gameplay, and third will be just kind of like experience optics, like as somebody that engages with the game, but outside of the game, what that experience is like. So first of all, communication. I don't think I've met anybody that said that Niantic was good at communication, especially via Pokemon Go in particular. Similar to Ken and Adam, Kyle and I are blessed with the opportunity of having a nicer, closer relationship with Niantic, and having some context for some of these things has been really good for my mental state. Except for when I go out and I see, because I'm a Twitter guy, people that don't know what they're talking about screaming to the heavens and just demeaning people and being rude. Because, you know, I care about this game. I care about the people that make it. I care about all of these things. And also, in my heart of hearts, I feel like they're not wrong. They're just misinformed. And that misinformation or lack of information is at its core Niantic's fault. So, to some degree, the anger is justified. The outrage is justified. The confusion is certainly justified. But let's move on to the next topic of gameplay. I think the game does a really good job of providing and promoting and building on what it does best, which is, like everybody has said, the curveball and throw. That's pretty much it. It's a repetitive thing. It keeps us in the spot. Times when I've been depressed, sad, I'll go outside and I'll just walk around the block and throw some Pokeballs and I feel better because it takes me back to my personal center, right? It's nice like that. That being said, there are parts of the game that are strictly just unfun. Like the raiding experience is not really fun. Kyle and I have talked about that a lot before. We love raiding. We do not like raids. It's a weird thing, right? It's really just not fun. Which brings me to the last thing, which is the experience of playing outside of the game itself. Those are the things that make the gameplay elements that you would consider lacking fine or great or even excellent in some cases, right? Like raiding is fun when we do it in person. Raiding is fun when you don't take it so seriously. Raiding is fun when you're also exploring a new place. All of these things are true, and it's difficult to have a conversation about core mechanics without talking about how that also affects the player in the space that they're currently in. I think some of the changes they've made to the game have been ultimately good in the end of the day. Some of the things I push back on personally, like I don't think the switch to 3-hour community days was a good idea, at least not fully. But on our show, we try, especially since we have some information and context other people don't have, we try to really seek to understand what the decision is, even if we don't agree. And more often than not, that'll cool the jets more than, you know, people just running to Twitter and just screaming, right? So I think the state of the game is good, but I also understand that I'm coming from a privileged and entrenched perspective.
Wow. Well, on that note, we need to spice this shit up because, wow, that was phenomenal, Chris.
Oh, thanks, Ken.
But you did mention that Twitter is a very interesting place, and that's where I kind of want to go with this next topic because, I fucking love Twitter, right? I love it. I don't want it to change. In fact, I want it to get worse because I love it that much that I just want Twitter to lean in on itself with being the worst the internet has to offer. That's my favorite part of it.
Sir, have you seen Reddit?
It's so good. See, but
as somebody who frequents Reddit, Twitter is worse.
I agree. Wow. And I'm on Reddit every day as well. But Reddit has more self-awareness, right? So Reddit knows it's on Reddit. Twitter thinks that Twitter is the world when really Twitter is a fucking drop in the bucket, right? But I love, especially within this community, the fact that Twitter is made up of a very, very small portion of the player base. Like,
you're blocked.
You know, oh, fucking PokeAK. But it's like, wait, show of hands. PokeAK blocked people on this podcast. Fucking great. Oh, we got three.
You're not trying hard enough, guys. Come
Adam,
on.
Go call him a name or something.
I've never commented on anything.
It doesn't matter.
Me neither. I follow a couple either. People he has blocked.
But no, look, it's. I think there's a very interesting microcosm of the game where you have probably like less than 100 exceptionally loud and influential people on Twitter that have said influence because they're loud, right? And that's really it, right? But in doing that, it really promotes the fact that they have issues with Niantic, issues with the game, and you know, that turns into negativity and toxic or anger, however you want to call it. Look, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Like it's your prerogative, right? My position, like what Chris was saying, is like, just don't be a dick, right? You could do whatever you want. You could say whatever you want, but when you cross the line of being a dick personally to someone or the devs or anything like that, that's a whole different ballgame. So that part of the conversation, notwithstanding, you have this small but loud segment on Twitter that clearly despises this game. However, they can't stop playing. And I fucking love that dynamic. I think it's like it's just absolutely hilarious that the people that my favorite is like, someone said it earlier, like, oh, I'm going to quit this game. I'm going to quit the game if this happens. And it's like, really, bro? Cause you should have quit like 38 times based on like how many times you said you were going to quit, yet you're coming back, you're playing more and all that good stuff. So the question I'd like to bring to the table here is, why do trainers that continually share their hate for the game continue to play this game? Why don't they just put it down? Why don't they play the Switch instead of playing Pokemon Go, or not for nothing, why don't they just fucking leave the community? Why don't they just play something else? Like, just go. It's like, you know, don't go away mad, just go away, right? Like that whole thing. I just want to hear everybody's take on that, because depending on your interaction level with Twitter, and again, it's a microcosm. So if you're not on Twitter, you're oblivious. You have blissful ignorance to the fact that the PvP community is fucking rough, right? But if you're on Twitter every day, like most of us, because we're part of the content and influencer community, you have to be in the mix, right? So we see it every single day. So my question to the panel here is, what's the deal with these people? I don't know. Chris, you're always the nice guy. Like, what do you think of these people?
Oh boy. I think they have an issue. It's really kind of what it is, man. Honestly,
have an issue, need a tissue.
Yeah. But honestly, I mean, you can look at some of these tweets and they can be brash and they can be outlandish, but you can tell the difference between somebody that's just acting out because they're upset and somebody that's like actually out for blood, trying to ruin somebody's day and just trying to be mean, right? Based on the word choice and things like that, right? Or even their tweet history. I just think that these people like to be angry. There are people like this in intimate relationships where they have to have a problem, right? That we're all aware of that sort of person. And these people are in that sort of relationship with a game. And it's perfect for them because they don't have to feel bad about it, because the game isn't a person. It's just faceless to them. So they get to scream at it and have problems about it and still go to bed at night next to their phone being open to Pokemon Go, you know? So, right. Kyle, how do you feel, man?
I think I agree with Chris here, especially every game has these players. It doesn't matter what game. If it has a community, it's got them. Both Chris and I were in the World of Warcraft community and the League of Legends community. The League of Legends community is notorious for this same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's very toxic, very negative for every change. And I think part of it is people just like to be angry. That's just, it's like the natural state of being for so many people. And I get that. I've definitely been there. But another part of it is people get really angry because they like the game. Like, they really do like the game and they personally see something that can be better, or they think something is done wrong and therefore they're upset about it because their game can be better.
Like the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. When they bullied that entire team into redoing the model, which was ultimately the right choice, so don't get me wrong. But it's 100%. For the same reason Kyle's putting it forward.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested in hearing actually what the BTW guys have to say. Just in the interest of doing the reverse order of last time, since we got to start this time.
Yeah. Oh man, this is an interesting one though, because we actually did a little bit of a Twitter, I guess, review on Wallower, right? And
yeah.
I feel like Wildcat like enjoys this, so I'll let him go.
We both enjoy this one. We did. I got a lot of shit.
Yeah, I was called a 9-inch shill for the first time ever. That was fun.
Ooh, congratulations!
Ken gets that like twice a week.
Yeah, that's
that's normal.
Usually it's like shill, yeah. Death threat, shill,
bootlicker.
Yeah, bootlicker. It's phenomenal.
I have to say, I come from a weird place. I did not have a Twitter up until, what was it, January-ish this year. It got to the point that we had viewers tagging the BTW Twitter asking why they can't get a hold of me. And then our, once again, going back to Siegel, threatened to take my name and run it into the ground on Twitter if I didn't create one.
So he made one.
It was just diabolical enough that he would have done it. So I finally was like, fine, I'll get on the Twitter thing. And I think a lot of it is, it's easy to be angry behind a keyboard and say things you would never to say someone's face. It also is a lot of attention seeking. You know, the one that Astro and I got a lot of hate mail on. It, in my opinion, I still believe it's a 100% attention seeking. And I just went and pulled up their, because as Kim was talking, I wanted to see, you know, the season's happened. GBL's not fixed. What was their next tweet going to be today? And it's the exact, pretty much same tweet. It's like, oh yeah, but I'm going to go live tomorrow, so don't worry about it. And I'm like, see, look at this. And to anyone that says, oh, they're going to quit the game, I'll say it here again. Bye, Felicia.
The game doesn't hate you.
The game is bigger than any of us. Every one of us podcasters could quit tomorrow, and Niantic wouldn't even notice. I mean,
really?
The game is that
somebody might notice.
I tend to feel like a lot of it, like Wildcat was saying, is clickbait. Click on my Twitter and follow me, because especially in the PvP community, I think everybody has retired. And I love when they use the word retired. Some people do have this is their job. But those people aren't the ones saying they're retiring. Or they'll say, like, I'm retiring from playing my stuff. I'm going to dedicate my time to the community and highlighting those players. Zionic and, like, I think FP6 does it. Those two, they're really, really, really good at not promoting themselves, but promoting other people. I think King is doing it too. And they use the word retirement as, we're going to stop showing our stuff, so we're retiring from that aspect. But then you get people who are like, oh, well, I have 200 people who follow me on Twitch. I'm retiring because they're not going to fix this and they're not going to fix that. And this nothing has been changed is my favorite line to see on Twitter. Nothing has been changed, because clearly when you type that, you have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yep.
No idea. I think some of the stuff that goes on with these keyboard heroes, I like to call them, where they are real tough behind the keyboard and say some pretty, I mean, some nice pretty things? Ignorant shit. I mean, I forget her name.
Liz George.
Liz.
Killed me. Yeah. That hurt me in my soul.
Like, there was, like, the stuff that was getting said to her, it was just uncalled for. Like, this is a person. Like, these are people. And yes, we get frustrated with support, or we'll get frustrated with it. But at the same time, when I look at profile pictures that aren't, you know, a Pokemon, and it's somebody's face, we're all adults. Yeah, quote unquote adults.
Grown-ups, yeah.
Nobody's called me that before.
When you walk into work and you don't agree with something, do you walk up to the boss's office and just start calling him names and cursing at him and saying God knows what? No, you don't. Because why? You're going to lose your job. So they take that, they go to Twitter, and they say, well, no one's going to come at me. One of the things, like, I love Ken's Poke the Bear segments. I love seeing the reactions. I remember, and this could, you guys could have maybe squashed it already, but there was one, it was a while ago, where a certain female PvP player came at you pretty hard, and you were like, let's have a Zoom conversation. I don't know if that Zoom conversation ever happened, but that's awesome. But that's it. Like, we're real tough when it's a keyboard, but then when someone says, okay, well, let's have an adult conversation about this. I want face to face. Let's have a conversation. It's like, well, I mean, I guess I could see your point. And then it's like they walk away. I think compared to most other games with communities, it's probably the lesser out of all of them. I think, honestly, in our realm of PvP, it's the absolute worst when it comes to this game. It's very rare. I don't think I've ever really seen, maybe like Caleb Peng once in a while, or Zionic or someone like that makes a post that's positive about the game. I mean, it's rough, and I don't know. I guess I don't know why you keep playing it. That's like Wildcat said, like, if you're going to complain so much about it, like, just stop playing. Like, it's not like Apple or Android are telling, like, sorry, you can't delete this game and you have to play. You started playing it, so now every day you have to play this or your phone's going to blow up. Like, no, you can delete it. You can move away. It just, it, it just gives them a platform to be, I'm not going to say, things that I shouldn't say about people. So I won't, but, Roundtable, what are you guys, how are you guys feeling about it?
So you go for it.
Oh, okay. Hey, you go after me. On Twitter, what?
Why are you like this?
No, you like this.
I'm gonna tell your mom.
What if I tell your
sister? This is so hilarious.
Sorry.
You guys are wonderful.
Well, we are your mom's favorite podcast, so. the lovely old saying, like, misery loves company.
Yep.
When I'm mad about something, Twitter's the best place to go and rally others to my cause. So that's actually one of the reasons why, like, we decided to make our, like, Discord free, is because I was scrolling through ye old Twitterverse and saw some pretty gross things, and I was like, you know what, like, if I'm trying to get people into the game, like, this is what they're gonna, like, their resources for it, like, when they're trying to connect with other people, like, this is what we've got. No, let's fix that. So that's, like, one of the reasons, like, why we decided to kind of take the stance that we did. So yeah, that's all I have to say.
I am not probably as deep into Twitter and things like that as a lot of people might be. I'm a lurker, and I always have been on pretty much every platform. So I don't see as much of the negativity, partially because I'm just not as deep into the medium. However, I think part of it that goes with the, I hate this game, I'm leaving it with this doesn't have, well, people, you know, okay, bye. But part of it makes it hard to leave. I'm guessing that a lot of us had some, if not infinite, exposure to Pokemon growing up, or at least during some sort of formative years, and it's changed the way we think. You know, there's a reason that we can name all of them. And there's a reason we know, you know, what power moves have in the mainline games versus what they have in Go versus the TCG and all of that. It's so far ingrained in us that the those that say I'm leaving have a hard time actually leaving. So I think that's part of it. Another part is there is an attention and I'm trying to be the Pied Piper. And have people come follow me, but it's a carrot and stick problem. Lead with the carrot, which is sort of the stance that we've taken with ours. We want it to be a cool, fun experience that you can hang out with some local guys and play. And it's growing. It really started with people we knew. And so we've tried to go with that carrot approach versus the stick approach of, follow me, I'm going to be negative about things. And like you said, misery loves company. So we try to stay positive as best we can. There are negative aspects about the game, as we all know.
Plusle and Minun.
Well, yeah, there's Plusle and Minun. So those, one of them's actually a negative.
And there's positives.
Hey. So, you know, I think part of it is it's really hard to leave something like this, because of the way that we have trained our brains to be, whether we view it as a positive or a negative game, or both, there is, it's so entrenched in us at this point to be something around Pokemon. And right now, with Pokemon Go being a mobile game, and you can switch from Pokemon Go to Twitter just like that, you can see something and complain about it immediately. There's an immediate gratitude or negitude that comes with being able to just move from platform to platform. And so why not? You know, I try to post things that are fun. Like, I lagged a game once and beat a Garchomp with a Skitty. I love it.
I'll take that anytime, right? Mm-hmm. That's still a W.
Nice. All right.
But those are the fun things about lag. I'm sorry for the loss of the other person, but I mean, I only played my 200 matches last season, so they got their win somewhere. But we try to be a positive view. If you've seen our Twitter, which JT does most of the tweeting,
Twittering.
Yeah. he's a very positive poster. Mostly it's about, hey, join the podcast, join the Discord, come hang out with us on the weekends. But we try to be positive about it. But again, we do fall under the blissfully ignorant almost always. And so that's sort of where we are. And because of that, we have the ability to maybe not need to pay attention to the things that are negative and not give them the satisfaction that they may be looking for, seeking that attention, trying to play, you know, the leader of the pack in a negative way. So we want to try to be a positive way.
Yeah, where yeah. Ken literally has a plate that says, you want to be negative? Here's a plate of food. Come closer.
Well, look.
But
look,
hold on. Before Ken goes, though, I'm going to say it's one word. Addiction.
Yes.
Think about it. If you were a smoker and you smoke, okay, and you're like, I'm done. I'm quitting. Mm-hmm. You're still going to want to.
Yeah.
And then imagine mm-hmm. if all the people you're around are also smoking, aka playing. I'm sorry to use this reference, but everybody around you is playing Pokemon Go. You're going to be like, oh, you know, I really want to play again. Mm-hmm. probably open the game. Just let me pull. Just let me open up the game real quick. I just have to download it. It's only I'll just check. I'll see if I got a gift, and mm-hmm. I might open a couple gifts, and then all of a sudden you're shiny checking. Then all of a sudden it's community day, and all of a sudden you're playing.
All of a sudden you've made a podcast mm-hmm. about it.
All of a sudden you're doing a podcast. You're
no, right. I think you nailed it. I think that was actually what I was going to bring up. I mean, that's 100% the elephant in the room, right? And because this game is a culture and the way we play it is throughout our day, and we play when we're taking a shit, and we play when we're driving, and we play when we're, you know, doing everything. It's 100%.
Whoa. I'm a passenger.
I hit the button. But I think when it, you know, just to close this out and circle back, when it comes to Twitter, and this is the line that I really like to tightrope walk on, is because these people just don't know how to communicate. And I find pleasure in putting pressure on the fact that they have no idea how to communicate. And I say, like, look, you can be angry, you can be upset, you can be all of that stuff. But explain it. Don't give me 140 characters of why you're mad, right? Like, I want to know. I want to talk about it. I want to get to the root of it, you know. And I want to have a discussion so we can find some kind of understanding. Because I'm not just gonna, you know, look at Waller's tweet and be like, "This is it." Blah, 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 blah. You know, come on, bro. It's like, honestly, it's really about, how do I communicate my displeasure for what I'm experiencing? How do I balance that with the fact that I potentially have some kind of Stockholm syndrome going on, where I find joy, and the cyclical motion of this game is I find a completion feeling when I'm able to find negativity within the game, post about it, cause a cycle of negativity, and loop it over and rinse repeat. And some people get their rocks off like that. And that completion, that circle of life, that circle of like bullshit, negativity, toxic, whatever, that's how they continue and live their life. And like, for me, it's fascinating, but in like the worst way possible. So I want to be able to provide people a platform. And like Wildcat was saying, or even Astro, I forget who was saying it, but like, you know, if you have the problem, like, let's talk it out. Like, let's go for it. And a lot of times when that happens, they realize like, oh shit, I don't have a leg to stand on. And really all I had was a soapbox. And now that the soapbox is kind of a full platform and not just like this one little square, yeah, maybe my argument doesn't lie. And I don't know. I just think it's a matter of communication. You know, people don't know how to communicate, and the easy way out to any scenario is to be lashing out and to have anger. And, you know, I think we all deal with it. It's just some people exploit the fact that Twitter is kind of this pseudo anonymity, where they feel like they could just be keyboard warriors and get away with it. because it's a microcosm, right? It's its own bubble. If we were at GoFest, you know, no one would come up to my face and be like, yo, you're a shill. And if they did, I'd have to tell them why they fucking went the wrong one. You know what I'm saying? From Jersey. But it's like,
yep. And I'd be like, I'm from Canada.
But
I can't get it out of the rappers.
But it's like, no, but seriously, I just do think, you know, it's I blame the parents, yo. No, for real. It's like, it's just a matter of not knowing how to communicate. And, yeah, it just comes down to true personality traits and an understanding of how to be a decent human. And if you don't have that quality, it's just going to be exacerbated and amplified on a platform like Twitter because it's conducive to, you know, being filled with toxic waste. So that's where I'll close it out. But I love every fucking minute of it. So don't get me wrong. It's phenomenal. Don't never change Twitter. Actually get worse, please.
So I'm just going to kind of insert this now because it's just too appropriate. It's really, really kind of close to what we were just talking about. One of the topics that I wanted to talk about from our show was FOMO, generally speaking, which has been kind of a source of some people being like, you know, I'm going to do this event, blah, 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 difficulty quitting, things like that. Sometimes people feel like they're being taken advantage of, et cetera. So I think ultimately...
Mr. Mime.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my gosh. In retrospect... It's funny. It's definitely funny.
The best part is that there was a glitch where my screen showed two GoFest tickets, and like you clicked one, and it was like, pay for your ticket to the Mr. Mime event 2019.
Oh my gosh.
Or 2020.
Oh, that's right.
December 19th.
Yeah,
I was like, no.
No. No, put me back. No.
We got tickets to that for free from Niantic, and we were still pissed. Mm-hmm.
Because I had to evolve. I had to evolve.
Oh, my God.
It's the same thing. Don't make me evolve.
Well, anyway, what I'm mostly curious about is FOMO ultimately like a good thing or a bad thing? And I feel like there's probably like two ways to take this. Like as a player, is it good or bad? Like, is it a motivating factor? Without FOMO, I probably wouldn't be as successful in this game or have reaped the benefits I would have gotten from it. Or the negative of now I spend all my money, all my time playing this game and my life is falling apart. Or do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing for the integrity of the game in the long run? I'm kind of interested in both aspects. So I think let's start out, you know, I've been favoring BTW this entire time. So why stop now? So I'm going to pass it over to actually, I want to hear what Wildcat has to say first.
Oh, this is a wonderful question for me. I pay for the Mr. Mime ticket. I would pay for it again. Because it was an experience I got to have. It gave me something to do for 3 hours on a Saturday or Sunday. I don't even remember what day of the week it was. But what I've learned with this game, if FOMO's driving you to play it, just wait a month, wait a year. It's going to come back around. It always comes back around. But for the state of the game and in the game in general, it's good. Because how else are you going to drive the player base to want to keep playing? If there isn't something to chase... If I have to just catch 9,000 Rattatas, I'm probably going to stop catching. But after my 30th Rattata, you say, oh, but wait, here's this new thing over here. Shiny, look. You know, all the ADHD and all of us are going to go, oh, okay, let's go do this now. I need to go catch. I got to go do Stuffle Community Day, whether I'm pissed about it being 3 hours or not. Because I have to have that Stuffle. Overall, I think it's good, and it does drive my play. It absolutely does. And I think for the long-time integrity of the game, if they don't have that FOMO, they're going to lose their player base. Would you agree, Dino?
Yeah, 100%. Actually, I'm going to go with like the side of like the PvP for me. I always feel like FOMO whenever I don't do all my sets for GBL, for example. And if it wasn't for that, then I probably would be like, I'm just like scared. Like that someone will like pass me, like, or Wildcat like surpasses me in Elo, and I'm just like, oh no, I can't let him do that. So that's why, like, for me, it drives me to play the game. And in a way, it's kind of like the addiction of this game brings the FOMO to
perspective. Today, Dino? Where are you at today?
So you only beat me by one win. Okay, so that way, like, tomorrow I'm gonna be like, all right, now I'm gonna be like, I need to get a better record the next day.
Doesn't matter, so, yes, if you win by an inch or a mile.
Yeah, exactly. Winning's so winning. That's why I was like, oh, and nah, I gotta get him tomorrow. So in that perspective, yeah. So like, I feel like addiction plays a lot in this because I'm just afraid to like miss out on certain things. Even if I play for like 15 minutes, I still need to play the event for like Stuffle, for example, just because it's a really good PvP Pokemon. So at least that's how I see it. I feel like it is a good thing. You just got to learn how to control it where it's not like a bad thing and you end up broke, for example. Astro?
Yeah. I think it's great for the game because it gets people to play. Even with the little man in the back of my head saying, it's going to come back. You don't have to spend $6 on this ticket. It's going to come back. I still spend the $6 on the ticket. For my mental state, my mental health, it's terrible.
Oh, no.
It's so bad. especially coming, like, so I guess maybe for, like, the casual player or the shiny hunter or, you know, the dex filler, something like that, or the raider, maybe not as much. But, like, when I started getting into PvP, I had just come back from, like, a year and a half or 2 years of not playing the game. And it was just like, wow, like, all of this stuff. Like, it wasn't until Defense Form Deoxys just came back that I actually had one. Oof. I have one Tropius that someone traded to me, but it's terrible, and it's not worth doing anything with, and I wouldn't have one until this GoFest. So I'm already, like, I'm catching all that. I'm doing all that. And it's just a constant, like, okay, well, I'm going to catch this just because maybe one day I'm going to need it. Like, we tell people to do that, but at the same time, like, I take it, like, maybe a little too far, where sometimes I'm sending, like, the most obscure Pokemon I just caught to them being like, look at this guy, good PvP IVs, I'm going to keep this, I'm going to build it. And they're like, why? That one's never going to be good.
All the time.
But it's just, it is literally just the fear of, well, what if they stop spawning? Then I'm not going to get it. You know, we had that with a Sylph Cup last year, where Sudowoodo was like the top, like in the top three Pokemon to use for the cup. And you literally saw people in Discords going, there's Sudowoodo spawning here, go here, dropping GPS locations for Sudowoodo. Like, it's just like, I didn't want to miss out, so I was one of those people who was driving my car 20 minutes away from my house to catch a Sudowoodo so that I had it for this cup. But like I said, for the game, it's great because they get a good portion of my money.
That's right.
So, Roundtable, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think the general macro FOMO, so as the events that people can travel to. Not everyone has the ability to travel. Like, I think most of us will be in Seattle. That doesn't work for a lot of the world. I didn't go to Japan. I didn't go to Berlin. I haven't been to any of the things in Chicago. So I think for that, accessibility-wise, I appreciate that there are other things going on during that time that the world can enjoy, even if they're not in person with us. As far as the micro FOMO, you know, things like regionals, unless you travel or have friends or know spoofers, I guess, you're probably not going to get those. And think about when Kangaskhan comes to raids. Well, Tauros doesn't go to raids. So where's the regional equality, I guess. So missing out on some things like that, it's just going to be part of it.
Let's not get political here, okay, buddy? Like, come on, let's keep it even keel.
There are some things the forever missing out on. It's not spawning anymore anywhere. People will miss that if they're new. You know, whether it be a training crash course that you can get, where hey, we're gonna get you up to speed. You're level 5. Let's get you some interest in the game past Young Goose and an occasional Ducklet. So I think there's goods and bads about
positives
it all.
Positives and negatives.
Oh boy.
plus one banana.
Those can go away for good. That's fine. I don't think anyone's FOMOing them.
I'm definitely not.
Nope.
So I think there's good and bad about it all. It just really depends on which level of thing you could miss out on you're thinking of. All the way from local spawns, like you said, the go find a Sudowoodo. Some people had them. Some people went to find them, and some people didn't have the ability to do so. So there's missing out outside of your control. The regionals. Not everyone can travel to Madagascar. But I think Niantic and the Pokemon Company are doing a pretty good job of bringing the Mr. Worldwide Go Fest to the people so that we can all enjoy it. Even for those that can't travel to the three specific cities across the world that have Pokemon.
Yeah, I would say for me, it's a bit different because like I kind of set goals for myself in the game, like goals that like aren't necessarily like special research, but like I want to get past ace rank in GBL. But I know to do that, I need some specific Pokemon to do well in certain cups and certain leagues. And when I hear like content creators like Zionic or BTW or Fish and DeFi, they're like, hey, this is a good one. Go get it. And I'm like, okay, that's the one I need to go. And like, if I don't get a chance to, I'm like, oh, the FOMO, like I'm not going to be able to reach my goal. So like that's what really kind of drives me. The shinies, there are some that I'll go hard for. If I don't get them, I'm just like, oh well, they'll be back. See ya. Or somebody will trade it to me. Like so, eventually, like you can put the word out there. Just hey, I'm looking for a clone Blastoise or Venusaur. So if anyone has one, send it my way. So yeah, just kind of those things. Like FOMO doesn't really get to me too much unless it like impacts one of my like individual goals that I have for myself in the game. So.
And I'll straight up forget about something. If I missed it and give me 6 months, I won't remember it's there. So we're good.
That's me. That's me.
Funny. Yeah, I mean, I think in general, from a content creator perspective, FOMO's fucking great because this is something that's giving us talking points literally for the life cycle of our entire show. We've been talking about FOMO forever. We'll never stop talking about FOMO. Because it's truly there, and it's there in a level that's almost tangible, right? So I do think that it's good in that perspective. I think it's bad because it causes player stress. We play this game in a lot of cases to be therapeutic and to be cathartic and to make us feel better. So when there's elements of the game that detract from that and make us feel worse, it's kind of counterproductive to the core functionality of this game of getting us outside and exploring and being social and being positive, right? And then you could even take it a step further and look at like the core tenets and pillars of Pokemon proper, right? About having honesty and integrity and responsibility and accountability and friendship and love and all that kind of great stuff. So when there's anything in the game that's directly causing stress on the player, I don't like that because I don't want people to be stressed out to a point where they're not having a good time, right? I want them to be swimming in serotonin, right? I want them to feel all the good shit. You know, I don't want them to be stressed out to the point where, you know, they're losing their shit or they're scratching their skin. You know, like I don't want any of that. But I do think that building anxiety to the point like, oh shit, I need to get this done is a great balance. And I think that Niantic does have a responsibility to walk that line of how do we, give our players enough anxiety that they're going to want to come back, but not enough to drive them away. And I think that that is a very delicate task and a very difficult thing. And obviously we're talking about humans here. So everyone's going to react to this level of FOMO differently, but I do think it's a good thing. But if you're not a person that deals well with certain stressors, even if it's something as trivial and as whimsical as a fucking free to play mobile game, right? Then there's more to it. And that's when I think it's a bad thing, when the game that's supposed to bring you fun and joy ends up bringing you stress and misery, then it's counterproductive to the whole thing. So as a content creator, phenomenal. As a driver of and motivator to play the game, phenomenal. But anytime it crosses the fence of where it's starting to make you feel negatively or feel bad personally, then that's the limit. Because of the addiction thing, people can't draw the line and say, all right, hey, I'm feeling not in a great way. I need to back up, right now. We don't have that ability a lot of times because we're fucking straight up addicted, you know? So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad, but I do love it. I do think it's an important component of the game, and it is an important component to keeping people loyal and coming back and maintaining that level of screen time. But I've seen Adam have a very different perspective of me, where like I could be go, 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 go 110% from morning to night. And Adam's just like, no, I'm good. And it's just like, how could you possibly be good? Like how does that work?
So to piggyback on your, you know, you think it's good for the game. It is good for the game. It's good in the general sense where, just like you said, like if a player misses something, like they're going to come back because they want it. You know, if they didn't get shiny Rockruff, like, hey, they gave you a ton of time with Rockruff. And I do feel like it is kind of weird in the adventure week that they took Rockruff away. Because it's rock, it makes sense. This
dude,
week.
That's rough.
Rockruff.
Woof.
No, and like that's like I don't understand that decision, but they took it away, so now people can have that FOMO after them like essentially giving us one and letting it be in raids forever. But I've learned through my years of doing this, FOMO doesn't affect me as it used to. It's more of less like just like you guys said, the Cocos, the Tapus, they're all going to come back. So I don't go as hard because I don't care. Like I don't care to go after the Hundo right now because my efforts could be more useful when there's a shiny check. When they come back, let's just say they don't come back till next year. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with waiting. I don't need it today.
I think you're the vast minority here in that, though.
Yeah, no, I'm just.
It's because you have the you have that level of I don't know if you want to call it like just the ability to draw that. Yeah, this ability to draw that line. I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah, I have a stick and I draw the line and I stay on one side. But the only time I cross that line is Delibird.
Oh, my God.
And the only time that FOMO, and it still to this day, kills me that I went so hard for the Delibird with the bow to the point where I was out until the event ended, like going out until midnight every day, like so where the thing switched. And I didn't get the shiny. I mean, I got it traded to me.
Cheater.
But at the same time, like, that killed me. I was so distraught. But even Delibird, like they gave me Delibird for the whole season. I was so excited. I caught Delibird all the time. And I even got a shiny one. So I'm a happy camper. I don't have anything to complain about. FOMO is fine. And I'm not the majority.
But Chris, now circling back to you with your focus on goal setting, right?
Yeah.
That FOMO could have a really adverse effect on you reaching the goals that you're setting forth, especially when you're trying to uphold a an image of,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You know, I need to do 10 Tapu Koko raids.
You would think that it would
have
that
summer
of
raiding. I was like, bro, I hope he makes
it. Oh, yo. Okay. All right. That was another life as far as I'm concerned, man.
It was. Oh, my God.
Man. 500 Raids of Summer was a very fun project. We did I did 500 raids in the summer and put them on a big Excel sheet and we did it for charity. It was a good time. I'll never do it again. but as far as like FOMO is considered, I think our goal setting is actually sort of free of FOMO. So we're allowed to kind of explore it a little bit because we have created a culture within our own goal setting in the show, like our microculture, that, if you didn't get it done, that we're just going to laugh at you and that's it. That's, you know, it's funny, you know, that's also part of the reputation just as much as it is setting the goals. Right. But I think I've heard some really interesting things personally here from everybody else. And I think I'm going to go ahead and just pretty much agree with just about everybody, sort of across the board. It seems to be that FOMO is good for the game until it isn't. And FOMO is good for the player until it isn't. Yep. And like Ken was saying, it's yep. Niantic's pole position, really, to sort of be the person at the front, at the helm, right? To steer that line. And when it doesn't feel good, we say that Mr. Mime Ticket felt real bad. But like, we don't see people screaming about, you know, Mewtwo coming back in a couple of weeks after it not being around for so long. Oh, I had to work so hard for my Mewtwo or whatever. You know, that sort of stuff just doesn't exist anymore. People don't really care as much. And I think that's ultimately good too.
Just right? Wait till Dino Community Day and you'll hear it all again.
Uh-huh. I'm sure. Oh my gosh.
All those Go Fest raids. Oh my God.
I don't regret any of them.
I don't know.
What about you, Kyle? FOMO? Yay, nay?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what kind of response I was expecting from this group of people, but I don't think I got the one I was expecting. Wasn't expecting a full agreement that FOMO is good and positive, or as positive as can be. And I find listening to everybody is like, wow, I actually do agree, especially with Ken and how Ken put it. As a content creator, FOMO is great.
We
tell the story all the time. 3 years ago, Chris and I worked at Starbucks together, and I'm like, can't make a podcast about Pokemon Go. What are you talking about? 4 years ago. Oh my God. I'm sorry. It's been 4 years. Look, time doesn't exist anymore. That was one
strong copy.
The last 2 years are 1 year. Can we all agree? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
He does bend time to play games. So who knows
what wormholes, man.
Yeah.
But so there's so much to talk about, and that's great as somebody who makes content. And it also makes you want to play the game. Until they tweak it too much, and then it's bad. I see it especially a lot with eggs. The FOMO around eggs is probably the worst in the game for me personally. But that's just because it's a semi-frustrating system to work.
It's like putting a dollar in the change machine and then the change doesn't come out. It's like, what? Let me put another dollar in. Hold exactly. on. Let me see if this. I think it must have been my dollar.
We keep doing it.
Why is the claw not picking it up? It just keeps. It's like it's not even trying.
That's because the landing will broken. Be female one day. I guarantee one day it will be female.
I think that one thing we can all kind of say too before moving on from this topic is that as content creators, the FOMO was really good for us because it. Basically, like, none of us want to miss out on an event because we need to be informed so that we don't look like idiots on our shows, right? And it's one
thing. I'm okay with one looking like that.
Well, hey, if that's the dynamic out of your duo, that's one thing, right? You know?
He started it.
But, you know, there's absolutely that level of, there are some community days I probably wouldn't have done the entire time, or a couple of raid days I probably wouldn't have cared about. Like, I already peel back from spotlight hours and raid hours as much as I possibly can, because I'm just really not that interested.
What?
But what are those? Yeah, but we have to talk about it every week. So even if we don't participate, we're still kind of participating. So maybe that could answer a bit of the muted FOMO-ness, especially coming from Adam over there. I don't like the fact that you're not as much on the hook as the rest of us. You think you're better than us? Is that what you're saying?
Not at all.
I think that's what you're saying.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Okay. Fair.
But in the best possible way.
So one thing that we wanted to talk about, obviously BTW is a PvP centered podcast. We still talk about the general news, not as in depth as the rest of the podcast, but we do mention it because it does pertain to, you know, PvP as well. So I was interested because I listen to all your shows. I hear the occasional PvP talk. I know Kyle, or is it Adam who has the Ekans? Adam that just runs the Arbok. No matter what, he's just
won a match. He's got a Druidigon and he like switched out because he got my Clefable and I was like, and like he did everything he could to knock out my Clefable and I'm like, my Dragon Breath Arbok coming in hot. It was like three hits and it died. I was like, yes.
And Kyle gives the, you know, the stats on moves and stuff like that. Generally more towards raiding, but he does drop what it is for PvP. Now, most of our listeners and we share a lot of listeners, know BTW's view on GBL and how we feel about the state of GBL and things like that. But I'm very interested as casual GBL players, what you guys think when you're playing it, like, what are your feelings towards the GBL aspect? Let's start with Roundtable. How do you guys feel about that whole situation?
So I'm more of the PvP person. Honestly, when PvP first came out, I did not care about it at all until I saw that you could get poses once you hit like the top rank, and I was like, yo, poses. And then they were like, Niantic got me at that point. So I was like, I'm battling at all times. And I kind of fell in love with it. I'm still chasing that pose. Finally got it this interlude season. But
does that really count, though? Because even I got it.
Hey, it counts.
It counts.
The win.
It counts. Okay.
So, like, it's definitely interesting, like, kind of seeing, like, my transition from, like, being a casual to casual battler to a hardcore player. Because I didn't know what Pokemon to use. Like, I just like, oh, I like Charizard and I like Blaziken. Emboar is okay, but let's go with the fire type team, and then people would stop me. And I'm like, okay, don't do that. So then I kind of like was looking for like other resources. And I feel like we actually talked about it on our show, just kind of like when you are starting out in PvP, there's nothing. Like, it's just like, hey, a little white hand, mm-hmm. swipe on these bubbles. That's it. I started playing this other game, and it's like when you do PvP, you are locked. Like, you fight bots for the first 20 levels. They're like, okay, this is one thing that you can use. This is a mechanic that you can like exploit in the game. Like, it's really cool to see like how they're like actually teaching you. And then once you hit level 20, now try it out. All the things that we taught you. So like, it's definitely, I wish there was a bit more of that instead of having to like, okay, yeah, no. So, okay, right there, what you did. And it's awesome. It's a kind of a double-edged sword, because you can like use that to like kind of help build community and like bring people into the PvP scene. But at the same time, if you don't have like access to a community and you're trying to learn yourself, like that's not great, because you're going in with like Skitties versus Dragonites. Like, hey, maybe the Skitty has a charm that'll turn it down, but hey, you never know. So I think it could be a lot more user-friendly when it comes to newer people. Yeah.
Yeah, I think for
me, you're gonna put us out of business.
Being, I would say, less than casual, I play when there are more interesting bits to it. I'm not just going to jump into a Master League because everyone's going to run a Dialga and whatever. And for me, I pretty much made rank 20 this season in Love Cup, and then I was done. I'm here for Pika Libre. Pose is nice, but I want the Pika Libre. I want the Pokemon rewards from doing things. I'll do a Little Cup. I've got teams built for Little Cup, and I'll do it. And then Little Cup is done, and it's back to something, you know, Master League Classic or Mix Remix or whatever it is, and I'm out. I'll do it for fun, and I'll do it for the people. I'll try to run something fun or spicy or whatever. I mean, I may be the only person that's beaten a Garchomp with a Skitty. but I'm here for the really lighthearted, fun parts about it. I'm never going to make it to rank 24. I may make it to rank 7 because I have to do a certain amount of battles to do my research tasks and things like that. But as far as the PvP portion of the podcast for the people that it as it exists, it's quicker to catch something than it is to sit there and battle someone or someone's 5 times or 25 times. I will lose often and I don't like it. And so I stop. It's not always worth the frustration for me when I inevitably lose three to five of my five sets. So I do fine. I've got great records. I just, it doesn't really tickle the pickle, as it were. So there's some pretty, you know, he really wants to learn and get into it. I'll build something cause I'm doing a meta with our group or something like that. But I'm not entrenched and he's becoming entrenched. But that's kind of where we are. As far as the new people on the squad versus, you know, Papa Cannon Company, what do you guys think? Where are you, with this whole PvP and, you know, what does it do for you?
Well, for one, it brings the community together. That's the strongest point of PvP. It's impossible to play solo, right? You know, mm-hmm. You could talk about team leaders, you could talk about Team Rocket, but while the mechanics are the same as PvP, it's not real PvP, right? It's not player versus player. It's still a PvE and a PvP setting. So the fact that it necessitates multiplayer is the best part about it, right? Because it brings people together no matter what, whether they're remote or in person. So you could be casual, you could be hardcore, you still need a second person to tango, right? It takes two to tango. So I think that the casual and the hardcore, while they're both experiencing that multiplayer thing, the priority of where this falls in how they engage with the game is usually the opposite. You have a casual player who loves catching Pokemon, loves raiding, or loves shiny hunting, and they may not be a huge fan of PvP, but they do it because they have to, because it's part of a quest or something like that. And then you have your hardcore PvP people who don't like raiding, but they do it because they have to. You know what I mean? So you have this interesting juxtaposition of priorities, and because of that, we get this nice symbiotic balance between hardcore and casual. So I think it's really fun, the dynamic between the two. I think the two like it for completely different reasons, but the bridge is the fact that they have to come together to both share that experience. So, you know, not to be all fucking wholesome and shit, but that's what I'm talking about. That's why I think it's so cool, is because it pulls everyone together and we're all liking it for different reasons, which amplifies Adam's point from before. We all play this game differently and we can all enjoy it differently, even though we're all playing the same exact game.
Yeah, let's get different. So my favorite thing is to find the perfect PvP. So a rank one would be ideal, because it's like a hundo, only I get weird stuff and I enjoy the stat reducing moves. So that my Piplup is my go-to and my Arbok is my go-to. Clefable has been like those three on a team have been like my favorite. And I get pretty into PvP. I do enjoy it a lot more than I let on. But it's really hard because I always feel like somebody's got like the perfect team to go against me. And I'm like, how? Every time.
Algorithmed.
Yeah, no. That's the thing. And
you said it.
We don't, or like, I'll literally be like,
we don't say that word.
Like two flyers and like a water type or something, and like all they have is lightning. And I'm like, how? How is that even possible?
It's because the game looked at your parties before they matched you together and put you together so mm-hmm. you can get fucked. That's all.
Well, okay, so
simple.
But I do really enjoy PvP though. I do. And I don't know where the line is drawn, but like between hardcore and like casual, because I'd say I'm like somewhere in the middle because I enjoy it, but I'm not like super like, let's go. But I enjoy it. Like, that's what I enjoy. So I have like a rank one Electros. Like, that is a weird wiggly thing that I enjoy playing with as well.
Same.
No, but I was just looking through my stuff and I had like a Tangela and it said PvP one, so I was like, oh, and like I just checked on Pokegenie to find out and it's like rank one Tangrowth. So I was like, oh, I'll evolve it right now.
See, there you go. Now that's why he evolves. That's how he evolves.
Yeah, exactly. So if there's a reason, it makes sense to me. If it's shiny or a hundo or a rank one, and I could use it and play with it, it makes sense.
I don't know. We need to hear from the experts. Dino.
Yeah.
Like, help us here.
Yeah, no, like the thing for me, I actually noticed that for the most part, there's actually a huge difference between casual players, battlers, and hardcore, and that is molding. Like, the hardcore players are the ones that get really competitive and will, like, I battle people that are really hardcore players, and I'm like, you know, good games, and they're like, not good games. I'm like, okay, relax, bro. So, like, those things, like, that's how I know they're, like, hardcore players, because they don't like to lose. And when I face somebody, like, that's casual, they'll just be like, oh, that was, like, a fun game. Like, thank you for the battles. And, like, kind of like Adam said, he, like, enjoys it. And that's how I know, like, there's, like, a huge difference between that, because hardcore players, they're just, like, they actually use meta teams. And they're just hardcore players, and they don't, I can see that they don't really enjoy it as much as other players. There's very few hardcore players that actually enjoy while they're playing.
I was going to say, because I don't like to lose. But I lose all the time.
But
I'm so good at it.
Yeah. I'm just so yeah. So for the most part, at least that's what I see, like, the difference, like, between those two.
Yeah, I think Nino, I think the other thing there is, and this is kind of where BTW came into existence, was trying to be a resource to help those casual players that want to become the hardcore players. There's not a ton of resources out there in the environment today. And that's one of the reasons that we exist in the first place, is to kind of be that stepping stone. And we're really trying to even put more into our YouTube channel, you know, content that's coming soon around, you know, PvP basics. So I think the state of GBL, that's why I get so angry when people say nothing's been fixed, is because that turns away the casual player. If all they hear from the hardcore GBLers are, it's broken, it doesn't work, why are we playing this game? Why would you come and check it out? So I have an interesting, because I know Chris is not a hardcore PvPer, but he grabbed a ticket for Columbus. So Chris, what pulled you into PvP?
Okay, that's wow. I'm being called on the carpet here for sure. All right, so I actually like PvP quite a bit, and Fish and DeFi bust my chops. Fish more so, because I don't know where his confidence is me comes from, but he's like, oh, like, stop talking bad, like, you know more about PvP than you give yourself credit for. And I feel like that's relatively true. I just don't consider myself an expert. Like, I made it to the first regionals. The first regional tournament was in a bar in Chicago. It was wonderful. That first Sylph season, I really loved it. I was super into it. But GBL, I feel like, is a completely different monster, in and of itself. And that's a good thing. It should differentiate. And I feel like we're seeing a little bit of, you know, coalescence here with some of the fun cups. We're like, isn't that similar to something that's helped? And the answer is yes. Yes, it is. But I feel like that's all, like, good for it to be different. But when it's bogged down with things like technical issues or lag and stuff like that, that is a bummer. But to, I believe, Dinho's point before, and Wildcat's point as well, that, like, the optics that people put out there when you're supposed to be, like, a leader in the space, is, like, it's not there. And it's up to these other people who don't get as much attention because they're not as loud, because they're not trying to be as divisive and get attention for doing that. Those are the people that when people find them, they grab onto, right? So really early on, Kyle and I realized that we didn't really have the specialty to talk about that for the amount of people that we were talking to that listened to our show. Fish and DeFi E are wonderful PvP battlers on their own, and they're awesome content creators on their own as well. And they came in and really filled that spot for us. And the amount of positive feedback we've gotten from that addition is exactly what Wildcat, you were just describing about. People want a resource. They're really hungry for it, you know? And they're just like, yeah, we had emails all the time. I don't listen to the rest of the show. I just listen to PvP Corner, right? Yeah. And we're like, good. That's awesome. We love it. We'll forward this to their email address. I don't know why you sent it here, you know? but yeah, anyway, I'd love to hear what Kyle has to say, because I'm just coming from a casual experience. So, like, I don't really see all the hardcore stuff, like lag and frame drops. I, like, almost never see it. So I don't know, Kyle, you kind of hit it hard every once in a while, once in a blue moon.
No, I'll keep it very brief. I like Pogo PvP, but I don't play it basically at all. And the only reason, it's very simple. It's too time consuming. It takes too much time to play it for the amount of enjoyment I get out of it, which is still a positive amount. It doesn't make me upset to play GBL. And like that's about it. I don't have any experience with any of the lag or the frustration that I know plagues the community. So I kind of leave that to people who I know understand it better than I do.
Chris, did you have something?
I just wanted to say really quick to Wildcat, talking about the ticket I got to regionals. I just got lucky with it. I just happened to be in queue, wave number two, and I will not squander the opportunity. I promise you, I will try my darndest. And despite having no training up until now, maybe I'll do some.
Hey, yep. You can always come on Twitch with me. We'll be more than happy to do some team building and practice.
All right, I better see you in my DMs, man. Let's do it. That sounds like fun.
Locking me in.
So sort of speaking off of the, very casual, very hardcore, sort of in the middle players, it's not just for PvP. It can bleed not only into the game itself, but outside of the game itself. So what we were trying to think of is, are there any ways that, and for those listening, the term gatekeeping, are there any times where you have experienced gatekeeping? Now, I understand you are all further in than we are into this side of the community. But, you know, did you experience gatekeeping early on? Were there people that were, you know, further into it? What are your experiences maybe with gatekeeping and hopefully not being a gatekeeper? We want to hear. I want to go straight to the old man himself, Ken and Adam. What are some ways that you may have experienced this so that we can look to avoid it in the future?
I saw a lot of it on Discord, right? It was people guarding their digital communities and by extension, the IRL communities, right? You had this weird subgrouping at raids. You had a group of seven people over there and then the two people in the corner going like, oh, I just want to be part of the group, right? And then you had the transition, the migration from Facebook to Discord and Discord's being invite only and you had to, you know a secret handshake to get in and all this kind of weird shit.
Or the secret code. Pidgey.
Yeah, exactly. Or pay. Like, you know, if you want to be in the lured up Discord, you have to pay to be our friend. Sorry, guys. But it's like, no, it's just a matter of, people covet their communities and people are exceptionally passionate and proud of the culture they create. And while they want to maintain that in the integrity of that culture, sometimes that comes off as being gatekeeper because they're scared of, you know, people infiltrating and influencing the culture that they've created. So they could be gatekeepers and not really understand it. Now, Adam, I know you could talk to this better than I, but like even in the TCG, there's exceptional amount of gatekeeping there because, yes. The TCG world is way more pay to win. So
yeah, anyone, if you don't have the latest cards, like don't even try to go.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting dynamic, but I think that when it comes to gatekeeping, it definitely is an issue in both the IRL and the digital setting because, I think just people are very proud of the culture they've created and they don't want it to be tarnished by outside influence. And that sometimes comes off as gatekeeping or sometimes it could be completely intentional where they're just like, you know, fuck you. You're not cool. You can't be in the cool guy club, you know, kind of thing. So it's I definitely think that it's, anytime you have a community of passionate people, that's it's going to be something you're going to have to deal with.
For sure.
Chris?
Yeah. Okay. So, I was just kind of like listening to you talk and I was having flashbacks very similarly to these online communities because there was no in-game communication. People had to cultivate their stuff. And before we had, pandemic and everybody really kind of converted most of their local discords and things like that to more like larger area, remote raids made that possible. It was kind of stringent before. They're like, what's your area code? Stuff like that. Like, you don't belong here. It's like, well, I work here and I live somewhere else. So let's find a middle ground, but, I really haven't experienced too much gatekeeping. And one thing I wanted to say was actually kind of to the opposite. One thing I have seen almost no example of, which I expected to see, was when people don't know anything about Pokemon and they're at a raid, but they have their raid team because they're like, I got these Tyranitars and I'm ready for this, right? When they say, you know, almost sheepishly, like, oh, this is my first Pokemon game or whatever, like, if that comes up in conversation, everybody is just like, that is so cool. I love that for you. That's fantastic. Do you have a Switch? I'd recommend this title as well. Oh, you like this Pokemon? That Pokemon came out in this version. I have all these memories from it, blah, blah, blah. And it, like, just everybody's so welcoming. And I think it's because, this was earlier to the whole haters conversation before, like, the anonymity drops down and people are like, oh, I should be decent. That's probably the better way to go, you know. Have you faced any social persecution there, Kyle? Are you doing okay over there?
No, actually, I was just going to say, like you said, almost exclusively the opposite. At least in the Go community in particular, it's the most welcoming community I've ever been a part of in terms of video games. And I've played a lot of video games in the 29 years that I've been alive. And I think that's fantastic. I've never had someone be like, no, you can't be like this because it has to be like this. And it's just a great experience. Obviously people do that online and I'm not counting that because everyone's awful online, as Ken said.
Well, okay, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, so I will say I am very lucky to have an awesome local community. Pre-pandemic, we had a leader that strived to make sure everyone was included. So we would literally, on a normal weekend basis, have raid trains of 40 to 60 people every single weekend. Even after the pandemic, we had some other leaders that we tried to keep that going, but just, you know, pandemic world, that kind of started to fall off. I will say in the GBL world, if you go looking for it, you'll find gatekeepers left and right. There's people that if you don't play it this way and you don't like these Pokemon and use them this way, you're not doing it correctly and you should just stop what you're doing. And that sucks. It sucks for the community. It sucks for, once again, getting new players into the game. This is a community-based game. Let's be welcoming. Let's go out there. And if you know you're playing someone that's new and they beat you, own up to it and say, good job. So don't be that gatekeeper that makes people think they've done something wrong for actually achieving something good. Shadow Prime, he kicked my ass last month in a tournament. Just demolished me. Astro beat me. It happens. We all take L's.
Hey. Hey.
So that part of the gatekeeping in the PvP community really does bother me, and it needs to get better. But overall, I think most of the Pokemon landscape for Pokemon Go is very welcoming. As Adam said, if you look at the TCG or the VGC community, oh, those are as more toxic than you could ever imagine from a welcoming standpoint. So yeah, that's it. Astro, anything to close out here, man?
No. Not really. I think you guys all nailed it pretty well. Actually, we had probably another, what, hour worth of content.
That's lowballing it, man.
Yeah. Lowballing it. We've ventured into, we're getting close into BTW episode time here. Ken's like, it's over an hour. It's over an hour.
Liked it. A 55-minute sweet spot.
So, I mean, I had a blast doing this. I think maybe we'll have a part two to continue this.
Let's just fucking always do this all the time. Why not?
Yeah.
This is great.
Oh, I'm down. If you guys want, the listeners want to see more, hear more of it, email shows, it doesn't matter what show, just email and just say like, hey, do this more, do it more. And we'll set it up and we'll do it, because this is probably minus our show, and this is like the most fun 2 hours I've spent probably in about a week. So I appreciate it.
It's 3 hours. Yeah.
Is it 3 hours?
It's four.
Almost. It's, no, four, it's 2 hours almost. And 20 minutes, sir.
That's
almost.
When that's edited and music's added.
That's like 4 days.
Outro song. That's about 4 hours.
So we'll just kind of wrap it up here. So like I said, we're all podcasts. We're gonna, I don't know, most of our listeners maybe listen to other podcasts. Some of us don't. I'm not sure how that works. I know we have a lot of people in all Discords. But for the people who don't know the other podcasts, where can they find you, and what days do your shows drop? RTC?
So we drop every Thursday, unless there's anything special going on. We drop every Thursday. You can find us at rtchatot on Twitter. You can email us rtchatot@gmail.com. You can come to my house. We can hang out. Whatever works for you. That's how we want to talk to you.
His address will be in the show notes.
You could just go to PokemonProfessor.com. That's our podcast network, where you can get links to everywhere that you could find us. Also, for the BTW crowd, if you're into PvP, I also run a PvP Discord, New Jersey Go Battle League. So also you can get links to that. It's a wide open Discord, so I encourage you to join and play against some of the best battlers in Jersey. And just check out luredup.com, pokemonprofessor.com. You get all our links there. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So anything, GoCast Podcast, you can pretty much just search GoCast Podcast and find us. But most specifically, GoCastPodcast.com for all things GoCast. We drop our show anywhere from Thursday to the next Tuesday. Generally speaking, there's an episode a week. Sometimes there's more. So we try to keep consistent in that we have 4+ pieces of content out every single month on roughly a weekly schedule. And we're very grateful for everybody's patience along the way.
They may be 3 days apart sometimes, but who cares?
No, honestly, yeah, we published one and then we recorded like a day and a half later. And we're like, I don't have any PokePoll responses. Oh, that's right.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot to mention that. We're actually moving to a new schedule. We're going to be live streaming all shows going forward, starting next week, Tuesday nights. We also do a TCG podcast, so we're going to be doing like a podcast block on Twitch Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock. We'll be doing Lured Up, followed by our TCG podcast special conditions, and then the audio format will drop every Friday.
That's awesome. Just to close this out, mail at gocastpodcast.com. Yep.
These are all cool with your .coms.
We have years on, it takes some, on our it, belt. You know? Don't worry about it.
RTC@AOL.com.
AOL.
Like
.co or .net. .org.
Just see if .podcast is available. That'd be pretty cool. Edit that out. Somebody will take it.
Yeah,
edit
right.
Done. Timestamp.
That's enough.
At the BTW podcast, we come out every Wednesday. I've been pretty good with that, so proud of myself there. You can check out our website, finally. Yay. BTWPVP.com. That'll give you links to pretty much everything that we have going on. I know Roundtable isn't, but we're all pretty much supported by our listeners. You guys are the reason we do this, whether it's just the occasional "you guys are doing a good job" tweet, or it's, you know, a monetary donation or something like that. I will put the links for all the shows, websites, Patreons, all that stuff in the show notes. We all have a tendency of crossing over. I know I've been on PvP Corner. Me and Wildcat did some stuff on Lured Up. One day I'm going to have Ken rain check me on a talking shit episode.
Let's go.
So, I just want to thank all of you guys. Like, this was amazing. I I had a blast. Thank you all for taking time out to talk about this. I felt like it was something important that our listeners maybe don't get to hear all the time. So, you know, thought it was fun.
Yeah, thanks so much for organizing.
I had a lot of fun.
This was wonderful. Yeah, this is great. Yeah. Absolutely awesome. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, this is a special edition of BTW's Fireside Chat Talk that comes out on our YouTube every Friday. Friday, yes. It's our discussion piece, I guess. It's basically where we want you guys to email us and tell us how bad we are or something. As far as the Super Show goes, I'm okay doing this more often. I think we all kind of agreed with it. So we will keep you guys posted on all that. But again, thank you to all the hosts for joining us. And thank you to everyone who is listening or watching this on YouTube. And I guess until we meet again, stay sharp, stay strong, and stay super.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.